but the grave could not hold him. If Jesus is the victor, if he is back from the dead, then we have been redeemed from the power of the old slave master. When he shed his blood and blotted out your sins, you were redeemed. But to be a high priest and enforce that, he had to come back from the dead to be your high priest, to watch over you and answer your prayers. And he's right now at the right hand of the Father interceding for you right now. Anybody believe the Bible? It sounds too good to be true, but I can tell you over the years, it has proven to be true. We have been redeemed from the power of the old slave master. He has no right to touch any one of us who are born again and washed in the blood. Oh, he will, but he doesn't have a legal right. And Jesus said, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He will come to hurt you, but you need to know your authority. Jesus said, speak to your mountain. Speak to your problem. He even said, speak to the demon. Well, I don't speak to mountains. I don't speak to demons. Well, go ahead and let your mountain defeat you. Go ahead and let the devil defeat you. But Jesus said, speak to the mountain, speak to the demon. And if you don't know those scriptures, I'll meet you somewhere and teach them to you, because that's what it says. But none of that would work if he was in a tomb somewhere. He has to be alive and well to enforce his word. Jesus defeated Satan, and his resurrection is proof positive that he is the Son of God, and that he is alive, and that we have a living high priest, and we come boldly before the throne of grace. Grace means provision. I can come boldly before the throne of his great provision anytime I have a need. Amen. And I've been really amazed, even recently, the things God has just worked in my life. It doesn't mean I do not have problems. That's why I need grace. I have lots of problems. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. I mean, you may even drop your coffee in the parking lot. Okay. Everything don't always go right, but God is with you. Can you say amen? Thank God we have a Keurig back here. Now we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Mercy. Well, I don't deserve the blessings of God. That's why he has mercy. Amen. Amen. He has mercy on us. And to obtain mercy and find grace, God's provision to help in time of need. You see, he will help us in our time of need if we recognize who he is and come boldly before the throne of grace. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. I'm just telling you today that resurrection has great benefits for us. Amen. People get up and tell all these stories about the resurrection, but you need to know what the benefits are. Acts chapter 2, verse 24, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him, because he was and is God. The fact that death could not hold him is evidence that he is the Son of God. He's back from the dead, and if you're born again, he's living in you. If he's not living in you, you can take care of that right now. Amen. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I come into him and sup with him, and he with me. But it can't be that simple. That's what he said. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you don't know Jesus Christ, he's knocking right now. You may be watching my live stream, listening by radio, but he's knocking. Amen. Invite him in. Confess you're a sinner and ask him to come in and change you. Well, I just can't live right. Well, if he lives in you, he'll live through you. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection. There's no doubt who he was, because he arose from the dead. Well, that was just a fable, just a story. Listen, there's a verse passage here that says he was seen alive after his crucifixion by 500 people at one time. Those 500 people went all over the world spreading the truth that Jesus Christ is back from the dead. That's why they turned the world upside down. No one would do that and risk their own life. And most of those the apostles and many others lost their life because of what they were teaching and preaching. People don't die for a fable or a legend our made-up tale. Amen. He came back from the dead. And if you know him, you know that. Okay, he lives in you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves he is the Son of God. If he stayed dead, he was not God. Luke chapter 24, verse 45 says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And that's what I'm praying today. As we read the scriptures, God will open our minds to understand the scriptures. Maybe some of us think we understand it, but I'm believing God for a better understanding. How about you? You need the Holy Spirit to really open up your understanding to the Word of God. We all do. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. This is not what the Jews were expecting. They're expecting him to be a mighty king that would set Israel free from all their enemies. And instead, he turned out to be the sacrificial lamb. He came and was crucified. You see, God had bigger plans. He wanted to change our very nature. The reason man couldn't keep the law and can't keep the law is because his nature is contrary to the Word of God and contrary to the law. But when that old nature is crucified because of his crucifixion, you can become a new creation by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you're changed on the inside and you no longer want to do the things you used to do because your nature has changed. And so he had a bigger plan than just giving this nation victory. He had a plan to give all of us victory over the old human nature and over our enemy, Satan. And so the benefits of Calvary are unbelievable. He was raised from the dead that he might help us to receive everything promised and everything provided. Thus it is written, this is what Jesus said, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. Even the disciples didn't believe that. Even if he came back from the dead, they still didn't believe it. But he did it anyway. Can't you say amen? He had to fulfill God's plan. Jesus taught his disciples from Scripture that the Christ would suffer, die, and be raised from the dead. And that was a shock to them because that was not what they were believing for. I believe today he is opening our minds to understand the Word of God. How about you? And you really want to understand the Word of God. Are you tired of just listening to every old preacher come? Preachers have all kinds of different theories. And I want God to open up my understanding of the Word of God. And that's why I preach what I preach. I pray to really believe I have a revelation from the Word of God. And I believe this is a word from God. Resurrection benefits. What did he provide? What does all this mean? Psalm 16, verse 10, you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. He'll not abandon you to the grave either because he's already been there and defeated the grave. Amen. You don't have to be afraid of death. Some people hear the word cancer and they go into a panic. Why be afraid of death? Nobody wants to die from cancer because it can be a horrible death. But don't forget, he healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons and devils, cleansed the leper, put your faith in him. And if it's his time for you to go to heaven, don't be afraid of it because it's fun. Okay. Arriving on streets of gold is fun. I mean, we won't take a good vacation. A beautiful land somewhere. Well, just see heaven as a vacation. Forever. In the presence of God, because of Jesus Christ coming up out of that grave, you have eternal life and a high priest to help you get to heaven. Amen. You see, this is prophecy that God would not let the Christ decay in the grave. Luke chapter 9, verse 22, Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day. Well, nobody likes me. Everybody has rejected me. I don't have any friends. Listen to what happened to Jesus. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. You're not the only one that's ever been rejected. Well, nobody understands what I'm going through. Yeah, he does. Can you say amen? And, you know, I preach this with great boldness and great authority right now. But tomorrow morning I have to remember this. Okay. See, we have to remember who we are and who we have on our side. We have to remind ourselves because the devil is trying to tell us something opposite. I have a resurrected high priest, devil. I have authority over you, devil. Because he came up out of that grave, I have authority. Now you scat. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. See, we quote those things, but we don't really believe it. It's time we started believing it. Because of his resurrection from the dead, he has now defeated the devil and given us authority over him. Luke chapter 9, verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. See, this was God's plan, and it reveals God's power, the fact that God raised him from the dead and the fact that he's changed us. People say, I don't believe in miracles. Well, the greatest miracle of all is a person being born again and becoming a new creation in Christ. Prostitute becoming a loving mother, a drunk becoming a healthy, upright citizen. The greatest miracle of all is a changed life. And that's because of a resurrected Christ living in us. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Some of us get excited at funerals, and some of you think, well, they must not liked him. Oh, we did like him, and we're rejoicing because we know where he is. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we who believe in him will live even if we die. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. The physical body from the dead. And look at this. In Luke chapter 24, verse 36, it just gets better. Look. While they, his disciples, were still talking about this, about his death, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. All of a sudden, he just comes right through the wall. He's standing right in front of them. They still don't believe it. They think he's a ghost. You know, sometimes we have a little trouble with faith, but you know, the Lord can give you faith. He can reveal things to you that will build your faith. And he's revealing some things to these guys that builds their faith to the point they go out and die for him. Amen. Die for the gospel's sake. Peace be with you. It wasn't peaceful at the moment. They were scared out of their minds. Verse 37, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Y'all like this? Isn't this good stuff? He said, the Bible's boring. What part? Well, Leviticus is a little bit boring with all those laws. But Jesus Christ has fulfilled all those laws, so we don't have to worry so much about them because God puts them in our heart. He programs our heart with the Word of God. So the Bible's exciting. Verse 38, he said to them, why are you troubled? He might be saying that to some of us today. Why are you upset about everything? Why are you depressed? Why are you worried? I've got everything taken care of. My plan's on track. Why are you worried? Well, it don't look too good. Well, it didn't look too good to these guys either. Looked like they had lost their Lord and Savior. He's dead, they thought. But here he's standing in the room. Okay. He said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Have you seen the movie of the ghost in a movie eating food? It always falls right on the ground. Now look, he was not a ghost. He said, I'm not a ghost. Jesus still has his human body with the scars he bore for us. As far as I can understand, the only one in heaven that have scars in their bodies will be Jesus Christ to prove he paid the price for our redemption. Verse 40, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, I mean, these guys, you're talking about doubting Thomases. They all were doubting Thomases at this point. And while they still did not believe in it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? Now, I know some of you love food. And you're thinking, well, we have food in heaven. Well, all I know is Jesus asked for food right after he came up out of that grave. He was wanting something to eat. Isn't this interesting? And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? Now, if he can eat food, that proves he's still got his human body. Yes, you're going to have a glorified body, and you're going to have the best food ever when you get to heaven. Amen. Well, what will it be? Who cares? It'll be good. Verse 42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. That's important. Everything you need to know is right here in the Word of God. You need to know that the glorified body will eat and digest food. I don't understand it all, but that's what happened with Jesus. Amen. I'm reading some things today and calling some things to your attention that probably you hadn't even thought of in a long time or maybe never even heard, but that's my job. Is to teach the Word of God, not just to tell football stories. Well, I used to tell a football story every now and then, but we hadn't had many good football stories lately. Let me pray for some good football stories this next year. 42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it, and he took it and ate it in their presence. That's important. That's why they were going to die for him, because they knew he was the real deal. They saw all of his miracles too, all the things he did to help people. And the Word of God says he went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil when he was on this earth. What do you think he's doing right now? He's still going about doing good and healing people who believe him. And not just physical things, I mean emotionally, mentally, spiritually, depression. No matter what your issue is, he's on call right now. That you need to come before him. Before the throne of grace in prayer. He said they gave him a piece of broiled fish and he ate it so they could watch him eat it. Jesus' human body was raised from the dead and he did eat and he did eat and enjoy food. He had a glorified body like we will have. See, there is a human in the Godhead. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is your high priest and Lord and shepherd, leader, guide, healer, deliverer, everything you need. Because he's been through everything you'll ever go through and more. Therefore, if Jesus be raised from the dead, then he is the victor and death is defeated. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, listen, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys to hell and the grave. I won for you. That's what he's saying. I won for you. He defeated hell. He wasn't doing it for himself. He was God. He defeated hell and death for us. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Captivity's been taken captive. Are you captive to drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, some other addiction, strongholds, bondage? He has taken captivity captive, and he'll set you free if you put your faith in him. Captivity's been taken captive. I'm talking about the benefits of the resurrection. He said captivity has been taken captive. Therefore, we, the believers, are free if we want to be in Jesus Christ. You must put your faith in him and believe him. He said, according to your faith, so be it. Well, how do I get faith? You believe this word. You believe he's already defeated captivity for you. You can be free if you'll ask him to set you free and believe him to do it. 1 Corinthians 15, 55, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? So you see, Jesus defeated death. We don't need to be afraid of death. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So how in the world did he destroy the devil through the power of his death? Here's the deal. He came as a human being, but he's the Son of God. He's fully God, fully human. He took your sins, my sins, in his body and died in our place. And when he died in our place, he shed his blood, and we put our faith in that blood. For by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you delivered through faith. For by grace are you healed through faith. It's faith. When you put your faith in him, it has full effect and you're changed. Can you say amen? Amen. You're delivered. You're made whole. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Here's how it works. When you put your faith in him, he takes his blood and blots out your sins. And when those sins are blotted out, the devil's destroyed over you. I've seen theologians sitting around trying to figure out, well, to what degree is Satan destroyed? In this world, he seems to be getting stronger and stronger. But he's been destroyed over you. Because your sins are... When Adam and Eve sinned, all the devil and all of his curses came into the garden. Sickness, disease, failure, poverty, murder, everything you can think of came into the garden. When your sins are blotted out, you become a new creation in Christ. And the devil no longer has a right to touch you because your sins are gone. Sin came into the garden. All the curses came with it, including hurricanes and tornadoes and everything else. It's all a part of the curse. Those things are not an act of God. It's a part of the curse of man's sin. But he came to deliver us from those curses and to blot out our sin. When he blots out your sin, he defeats the devil over you. The devil no longer has a legal right to touch you because your sins are gone. Sin is what gives the devil a right to touch you. When you open the door to the devil by sin, look out. Christians can do that. And you open the door to the devil with sin. What is sin? It's just rebelling against God's word. As I said last week, it's not rubbing into something getting smut on you. Well, you just can't help it. You're just going to sin every day. No, sin is rebelling against God. We're born sinners, but when our sins are blotted out, Satan no longer has a legal right to touch us. We can still sin if we want to, but we shouldn't want to if we're born again. And if we do sin, we need to quickly repent. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we need to know my sins are blotted out. Doesn't matter what I've done, all I got to do is confess it. Even if I did something yesterday or early this morning, I can confess it. It says he's faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I stand before God like I never sinned. How many Christians really know that and believe that? The devil no longer has a right to touch me because my sins are gone. Sin's what gives the devil a right to us. Amen. I'm just talking about the benefits of Christ's resurrection. Now look at this one. Whoa, this is super good. I'm not going to get through all of this today, but get the best part maybe. Yay. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For what I received, listen, I passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Listen, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. These are the things that the disciples that witnessed it told Paul. Paul wasn't one of the original 12. He didn't see the resurrection. He didn't see Christ come back. He wasn't in that room when the Lord revealed himself after the crucifixion and after the resurrection. So he's going by what he's told. And he's telling us, for what I received, I pass on to you. He says, I've checked this out. There's 500 people running around here testifying. They saw him. That saw him at one time. There's a lot of others that saw him too. This is real. He said, I'm passing it on to you that you'll know. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. You see, Paul had been talking to all these people. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. He said, most of these guys, you still talk to him. They saw him after he came back from the dead. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. Now he has appeared to all of us. Everyone in this room has seen him one way, maybe not with these eyes, but we know he's right. Eyes of faith. We know he's alive and well in our inner being. You see, the New Testament church had over 500 witnesses who saw him at one time. They knew Jesus was alive. That is why they turned the world upside down, and many of them gave their lives for the gospel because they knew it was real. Paul knew. And we know because he's revealed himself to us. You don't get saved by accident. You get saved because Jesus Christ reveals himself to you and draws them in. Nobody comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. Well, I just got smart. I'm smarter than those other sinners, and I came to Jesus Christ. That's not what happened at all. Okay. In many cases, he wooed you and drawed you for years before he finally got you. How many of you know him? Do you know him? You can. 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. For verse 21, for since by man, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. By Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. We must be in Christ. You must know he's in you and you're in him. If Christ did not rise from the dead, our faith is worthless, the word of God says, and we're still in our sins. But if Christ be raised from the dead, then we have eternal life and our dead bodies will also be raised from the dead. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of the Father, who also intercedes for us. Oh, nobody knows what he not only knows, he's praying for you right now. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, you won't believe that, but I can tell you right now, I believe it. And over the years, I can tell he's got me in his radar. Taking care of me. He is is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Hebrews 4:7-24. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. What is faith? Believe in these words. Believe in the scripture. This is not my opinion. You say, why are you reading all these scriptures? So you'll know it's not my opinion. Too many preachers give their opinion and don't give the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, not by a preacher's opinion. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. This is why we are saved completely. He's right there watching over us. If we do sin, we do get into trouble, he's there to help get us out. The Bible says he's our advocate, our lawyer, pleading our case. Jesus Christ is alive forever to intercede for us and to save us completely. He restores emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially, completely. Amen. If we'll believe him for that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Are y'all praying? I'll preach fast. Okay, y'all listen fast. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Look at this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points, y'all pay attention, but was in all points tempted as we are yet without sin. He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He knows everything about you. He knows everything you've been through. He knows everything you've done and everything you've said. He loves you anyway. And he's paid the price for you. Even while you were a sinner, he paid the price. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly. Amen. With confidence. Well, I'm just no sinner saved by grace. Well, if you're no sinner saved by grace, then you're not just no sinner. You're into creation in Christ, and you can come boldly before the throne of grace. We're certainly all sinners without grace, but grace changes things. You say, amen. The resurrection was necessary that we might have a loving high priest. We can receive anything he provided on Calvary because he is our high priest. He knows what is provided, and he has the authority to give us what is provided. Victory, victory, victory. He's provided victory for you. As long as you live, you can walk in victory. You'll have all kinds of difficulties, many of the afflictions of the righteous. But until it's your time for heaven, he's going to be there to help you. Guys, let's all stand, please.